Take it from me, you guys are not going to want to miss the party of the summer. It's Rocklahoma, it's back in Pryor, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, and it's going to feature acts like Warrant, LA Guns, Bullet Boys, Godsmack, Chevelle, Daughtry, Skid Row, Limp Bizkit, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Asking Alexandria, Kix, Pantera, Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor, and many, many more. Go to rocklahoma.com right now to get your weekend passes and keep listening to On the Road to Rock with me, Clint Switzer, to learn how you can win two weekend passes for the whole weekend of Rocklahoma. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
It's great to see you. It's great to have you. How's it been going?
Right on, man. How are you?
Dude, I'm good. I'm actually a little pissed because I just left Nashville 2 days ago, and now I see you've got a show there tonight. And
we're playing at the Underdog, yeah.
I'm a little
East Nashville.
Trying to process that because what a great opportunity. We had some really bad weather. It was like storms, like some really bad storms there this week.
Yeah, it was. It's really hit or miss. That's what I was looking at the weather just now, you know, because you never know here. You know, storms can just roll up at any minute. So, yeah, it's interesting weather for sure.
Well, I was there because I do sports as well. I was there for SEC Media Days, which was a great event. You've been all over the place. You've lived in Nashville. You've lived in Louisiana. So do you have a favorite, like a college football program that you follow?
I do. I'm a big LSU Tiger fan.
Okay.
I'm an SEC.
There you go.
Fan, you know, growing up in the South, growing up in Texas and Louisiana, you know, support and always supporting LSU. So Louisiana teams have always kind of been our teams,
hey,
you know, for our family and for me.
There's nothing like it. I've been to every SEC stadium to a game, and that LSU Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night, there is nothing like it. And I can attest to
Absolutely.
That. We got to interview Brian Kelly while we were there and some of the wow. players. So yeah, that was a great event in Nashville. And so, but now here I am back in Kansas City, Missouri, where we do happen to be also a two-time Super Bowl champion with Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, there are
Absolutely.
Advantages to the Midwest, you know?
Absolutely.
You got to have something.
Absolutely. Heck yeah.
So you got tour dates kind of lined up starting tonight in Nashville and all through the summer, picking more up back in kind of in September. So what's in a perfect world, what's the kind of the rest of 2023 look like for you when it comes to shows?
Well, we're going out starting Labor Day weekend down in Florida, in South Florida, Naples, Z's Music Kitchen. I've got a young artist that's going out as a special guest with me, named Shaw Davis, a young guitar player
awesome.
Who really grew up, you know, listening to a lot of my records, and it's really an honor that, you know, he's a young man that has really grown as a guitar player. So he's going to go on the road with us, and we're starting in Florida, and we're going to go up to the Midwest. We've got some dates in the Midwest, and then back to Texas and Louisiana, back home. So all our tour dates are posted at lancelopez.net. We've got a great Bands in Town calendar there. So, yeah, please check it. Starting Labor Day, we're going to be rolling everywhere. And dates are being added every day, so please keep checking. If your area is not there, I'm sure we'll get there sometime.
I think
by the end of this year or next year.
Sure. I think you have a date in Indianapolis coming up. So if you're here in the Kansas City area, that's probably the closest one right now. If you ever get to Kansas City, I don't know if you've ever played Knuckleheads here in Kansas City, but it's like a venue if it was built by the hand of God himself for Lance Lopez to play in. It's Knuckleheads in Kansas City. I'll connect these dots if I have to. It's got to happen.
Yeah, we need to. You know, we used to play a place in Blue Springs called the Trouser Mouse years ago.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
And that was our home in there for a while. And then before that, back in the old days, it was the Grand Emporium. So,
wow.
You know, those were our, that was kind of our, so it's been a while since we've been to Kansas City. So, yeah, we need to come to Knuckleheads for sure.
There is a place, this is crazy. So, like, about a 3/4 mile from where I'm sitting right now, where my house is in North Kansas City. There's like a liquor store, right? But I found out years later that it used to be a club called Roadhouse Rubies, where Ronnie James Dio once played. And I'm like, this place I've driven by every day for the last 20 years, wow. Like Ronnie James Dio played at this place in like the early 90s on like Angry Machines tour or something. Wow. And it's just, that's what's so crazy. I mean, venues, it's tough because a lot of them come and go. There's legendary ones. There's places, I'm sure you've been all over the U.S. You've been to ones that were probably ones that you love to play. And then for whatever reason, they close down, they go away. And it's just, I think there's so much to be said, especially in the universe you're in, about these legendary venues. And Nashville has a bunch of them. You have a favorite place in Nashville?
Yeah. I mean, where we're playing tonight, the Underdog is kind of our home. It's become like I was out at a show last night at the Basement here in Nashville, and you know, we did a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute there. And we were all discussing that. We were just saying how the Underdog has kind of become a guitar player room. You know, you've got all the great guitar players here in town, like Guthrie Trapp and Tom Bukovec and Ford Thurston. Guys like Brent Mason coming down to sit in. And then, you know, Billy Gibbons loves to hang out in there when he's in town. Michael Landau's played there. So it's become kind of a guitar player hang. I mean, J.D. Simo, Kirk Fletcher. I mean, you got all the great blues and roots music kind of guitar players are playing there. So it's really kind of become that kind of place. So, and East Nashville is a really cool neighborhood that we all like to hang out in. So it's really cool.
Well, Underdog. That's going to be a must for me next time I'm there. And I wish I could have finagled my trip to have come to the show tonight. You're promoting a new album, which came out just about a week ago. Trouble is Good. It's your first album in 5 years, Lance. I think that's the first time we ever had you on the show, was back in 2018. So why now? Why was the time? I guess for a lot of fans would ask, why did it take so long? But why was 2023 the time to kind of reemerge from the studio here?
Great question. Yeah. After putting out Tell the Truth and during that touring behind that record, I'd been on the road for, you know, probably 18 months straight. And then I had a marriage ending and a lot of personal issues going on, which led me to Nashville, which led me to a big break to refocus on my wellness and my health and all the above. And during that time, I began to write music as I came to Nashville. And after I took a break and began playing live again, we had, festival offers come in and we began discussing making a new record and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So everything halted.
Sure.
So I went into, I moved to a house, and began, home recording, which is kind of what the title talks about. Trouble is Good. So because of this, I'd been talking for years about getting a home recording set up. You know, all the computer gear, the speakers, the microphones, the screens, the whole bit, the cable, the whole thing. And I'd talked about it, but I was always so focused on being on the road and working that I was not very focused on home recording. So that's what COVID kind of pushed me into. And that's how we started to make this record. Joey Sykes, a good friend of mine who produced the album. And I had a batch of songs left over from when we made Tell the Truth. So we began working on those songs. We had those laying around. We were writing new songs. And then I started recording in Nashville, Joey was tracking guys in LA. And then once things opened up, we went to New York and we worked with the great Bobby Rondinelli, who played with, Dio and all those guys, Rainbow, Black Sabbath, all those people. And it was funny because somebody told me last night they saw Bobby with Aerosmith. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, who has Bobby not played with? So, and Danny Miranda. So that was our first adventure out, to play in the room with a live band. And we cut the title track and the closing track and several more. And, it was just an interesting process, man, working through the pandemic. And it helped me cope through the pandemic and helped me heal through the pandemic. And it was just such an era piece of that time. And all those songs and the stories behind it kind of just really display what was really happening in that time period.
The 10 tracks, this is as well representative of you and your work and your vast array of talent and that I've seen you put out. I love music that puts me into a time or a place. And right now I'm really vibing on Wild Country because
Thank you.
The summertime is kind of my time. I'm a traveler. I'm all over the place, going to shows, going to cover events. I love exploring this country, especially here in the United States of America. And I love
absolutely
meeting people. I love going places. And that is what this song, it's sort of like my summer anthem here. And is that kind of what you're going for? Just this conglomeration of this vast and beautiful country and the people and the things and the music and everything.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you were going for here?
Absolutely. You've said it. You got it.
Good.
And that is one of the things that just I feel in my heart, man, is when somebody gets my music and you just got it, man. I mean, that's what it was about. Freedom, you know, freedom and traveling this great nation, and that we have the ability to do that. You know, and then we live in such a beautiful place, and the wild of it. I mean, it's like, yeah, we have these great cities and everything else, but when we get out into the deserts of Utah and Arizona and New Mexico and California, you know, we get out into those areas in Nevada, you know, and even in where we're at. I mean, I love going out into, you know, East Tennessee and the Smokies and the Blue Ridges. I mean, that's where I can reset and recharge. And I mean, just all those things that we have in the wild country, man, that are just beautiful us, and that we're just continuously free. You know, we hear that do that. So yeah, absolutely. You got it.
That, you know, we got to be careful here because people are going to start thinking that I'm some sort of intuitive deep thinker on these issues. We can't portray that. I mean, people are going to start really expecting a lot from me now and analyzing music and theory. And this is just one that hit me. So let's just call this a one-off, but it's a great song and the entire album rocks so much. I wish I could take credit for this, Lance, but I got to read you this little tidbit that someone wrote about this album. Okay. And I want our listeners to hear it. I want you to hear it. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it says, "For the uninitiated, Lopez plays what I brand as hard Southern blues. It's hard rocking enough to draw in the Led Zeppelin Sabbath burnouts, Southern enough to be played at a Texas barbecue, and bluesy enough to raise the eyebrows of a seasoned elitist or two." If that's not the best way to sum up, I don't know what is. That's pretty good right there.
Absolutely. 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 I mean, that's it. That's what we do. That's, I mean, to a T. I mean, that's, you know, all my influences. You know, I'm a blues guitar player. I grew up playing blues and rock and roll. And then I'm in New Orleans and growing up playing R&B and jazz, and all the other music that I played just filters out now into that. And that's the translation. So I take the stories of real life, which are the blues, and then now that's and it filtered all through those influences. And that's what we're getting. So again, it's heartwarming to hear somebody that understands.
That was a really good review of the album, and it's on Defenders of the Faith metal.com. So that's a strange site to be maybe doing a review here, but they get it. And this is great because you are a fan of hard rock. In fact, I believe if I recall that you were, I mean, hugely influenced by Eddie Van Halen, that you maybe were even at, you were on with my buddy Chuck Shute. You talked about being at the very first Sammy Hagar Van Halen show in like 86.
Absolutely.
So
1986, 5150, the opening day of 5150 in Shreveport. Absolutely.
That's amazing. What was that arena there in Shreveport? I've never been. I've been down there, but never to a big show there.
It was the Hirsch Coliseum, Hirsch Memorial Coliseum.
Is it still there?
The acoustics were horrible. I think that's why bands used to start tours there, because I think like if they could get their sound right at the Hirsch Memorial, then they can get it right anywhere. it was a rodeo arena. I mean, we used to go to the rodeo there at the state fair every year. And so that's actually why it was built. It was a big giant rodeo arena. It was incredible. You know, there was a strong connection in Shreveport. You know, one of my contemporaries, the very successful blues guitar player, Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Sure.
His father actually introduced Eddie Van Halen to his wife, Valerie, who was from Shreveport. She was a very successful actress, of course. We all know Valerie, Wolfgang's brother. So we had access to them. I mean, their lake house was not far from where I grew up. So during that time period, I guess when they were doing that, they were in Shreveport quite a bit. They were all around town. So it was really cool to have that guitar here, and all the kids in town were all trying to mimic that.
Sure. You know,
they all, because we had access to Eddie Van Halen. So he was like you know, like ours too. Like he was a local because, you know, his wife and everything was from Shreveport and they were there, they had residence there. So, you know, and all the kids were mimicking that. Yet I was going back to the other generations, you know, behind like Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and Leslie West and Mountain and all those kind of bands. And so it was really interesting era to grow up playing guitar, you know, but yeah, what a larger than life guitar hero. I mean, to stand in front of Eddie Van Halen, and he wore, I'll never forget. I mean, there's some photos of it, but he wore a purple shark skin suit, which was very odd. And Sammy Hagar played guitar pretty much almost all night, which was very interesting.
I remember in
later times, he didn't play that much guitar.
I think, there was.
I love Sammy Hagar as a guitar player.
Underrated. Like, I think on the Live Without a Net video, that was the first time I was ever like, Sammy Hagar is playing guitar on this? Like, this is kind of blue, because I'm younger. So, like, I'm only 39. So, obviously, this stuff kind of predates me just a bit, you know? And another cool connection to that is Kenny Wayne Shepherd wound up opening for Van Halen in, like, 2015.
Right. Exactly.
So I didn't really know that connection.
Family. Yeah, there was a deep family connection with the Van Halens. Absolutely. His father, you know, Kenny's father was our big promoter and radio DJ in Shreveport. So he promoted a lot of those concerts. And so I think he actually promoted a Van Halen show in 1980 or 81. And that's where I think the introduction happened. But thank God it did, because now we got Woofy, you know.
I'll never forget meeting Steve Lukather
of Toto, you know.
Yeah, just saw them. That's awesome.
And that was the first thing he talked about was Wolfgang and how great. That was our first conversation, Steve Lukather and I, was just, he had been at Eddie Van Halen's house in Coldwater Canyon the night before, literally left, got on a plane, flew to Amsterdam, and then saw me. And then that's what he was saying, is I just left Ed's house, and then he just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on about Wolfgang. And just about how ferocious he was going to be, how talented he was, a true prodigy he was. It was incredible. So, you know, thank goodness that meeting did happen. How he got, you know, Woofy.
Well, no question about it. Going to finally see him, Wolf Mammoth, live here at a festival coming up in called Rocklahoma in September. So finally going to get to see him. I've seen him with Van Halen. Yeah. This is going to be great. He's got a great album out and a new one on the way. So. And for you, I mean, this is when you're playing shows and you're kind of starting to unveil these new songs. Do you have a new song or two from the new album that you've been playing live that's like, oh man, that's really hitting, that's going to be like part of the set forever going forward? Do you have a song like that that's standing out so far?
Yeah, I mean, Wild Country is one of those. Well, you nailed it. Wild Country, exactly. Wild Country is a definite, you know, Easy to Leave, definitely is going to be in there. You know, and then there's several that we're working on, In and Out, you know, trying in the TriStar State, you know, Take a Swing. All of these that can be translated into like a power trio form, even the title track. Like these songs are going to kind of change and morph and kind of evolve into some other things, because we're going to be playing them live, like in a 3-piece situation or a 4-piece situation. So it's going to take on a whole new life and probably do some different meanderings and some jam sections live that is going to be real fun.
Okay. So the song Uncivil War, this, with kind of what you told me earlier in the interview, it clearly, this was life experience, right? I mean, this is what you were going through. This is what that's about.
Absolutely. And
was that a tough thing, or was it therapeutic in a way?
Yeah, I mean, it was both. It was both. I mean, Easy to Leave also, you know, and I felt like I needed to write, you know, what I was going through, because I feel like, again, you know, I was always into listening to songs and going, man, me too. You know, that's why I love the blues, you know, because it's like real stuff. And if you're dealing with it and going through it, you can listen to it and go, wow, you know, I feel that, you know.
Sure.
And that's kind of what, you know, writing these songs was about. It was not only healing, and it was tough, and it was processing everything that I had experienced and everything I'd gone through. And I had a lot of people around me helping me, very great people helping me, which I was so grateful for here in Nashville. And the writing was very therapeutic. I mean, I came to Nashville and I befriended the great John Hyatt, singer songwriter. And John gave me one of his road guitars he was out using with Lyle on the tour with Lyle Lovett. And he says, I want you to take this guitar and I want you to write about everything you're going through. Because I was going through it. You know, yeah. I just landed in Nashville. And so, you know, that's kind of how it take form. And sure. Yes, it was healing and therapeutic and all those things. So, yeah, it definitely, you know, especially during the during COVID and the pandemic, it definitely was like, because we had all, you coupled with that. So you had all that happening at once, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to write a few songs about that myself. I don't know how.
Right.
I don't know. I'll tell you.
We all had the blues.
I'm fortunate because, like, I, you know, I just don't live. I haven't had to face a lot of adversity in life. I'm fortunate for that. But I will say, right. I didn't know the word depression until that time period. And I will say that was the first time I ever had real dark feelings of like, where is this going? What's going to happen? Like, I mean, right. I, you know, from a young age, I was like, you know what, like a 9-to-5 job's not for me. I can't handle this. I want to be traveling. I want to like do the things I love, talking to people like you, musicians, sports. I mean, I just wanted to do what I love. You can probably relate right. to that. And so that was the first time where I was like, that's not possible right now.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah.
And something that should probably never be imparted on humankind ever again.
Right.
You're asking me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean,
Agreed. No, agreed. And that's why this recording this and recording in my house, you know, and I was lucky and fortunate enough to live in a great place and begin working and recording and doing all those things during that time. And it pushed me forward. And yeah, it got dark for me. And you know what I was suggested to do was to go out and help other people.
Wow.
And that's what I did. You know, I stopped sitting around and, you know, dreading and doom and gloom and darkness and got out of myself. And, you know, I also went back to some people from my past and I kind of called them up and went, hey man, all that stuff that happened, I'm sorry, man. And I started telling people doing that. Mm. And that was what reversed it for me during, because it was dark. Like, it was like, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the
sure.
future of the earth was crazy. So, you know, and it pulled me out. And then I got into other things. I started repairing guitar amplifiers.
Oh, wow.
You know, I started working on guitar amps. Matter of fact, I was just working on some a minute ago. and awesome. Yeah. And so I, you know, I did that, and that was, you know, that was why Trouble was good. You know, Trouble pushed me into being a home recording guy. It pushed me into being an amp tech. It pushed me into all these different things, learning how to, you know, work Zoom, kinda. I know I had issues getting on here today.
We'll blame my end. We'll blame me.
Figure it out. You know? Anyway, but yeah, all those things, man. I mean, that's why it was good. It did, you know, afford us this technology now. So there was a lot of, you know, cool things that did come from the adversity from everybody.
You know, Lance, you've been just one of our favorite guests here over the years, and it's great to be able to have you on to talk about a new album. It's called Trouble Is Good. You can go to lancelopez.com and you can check out the dates. You can see where to get the album. It's out on Cleopatra Records. It's easy to get. Go to the website right there, or find Lance Lopez there on Facebook. The links are all there. Lance, it is always a pleasure, man. Wish to hell I could be at the show tonight in Nashville. Have a great show, and I will come out and I will see you soon. That is a promise, my brother.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you for having me on. You guys have a great day. I'll see
Thanks.
You soon.
Thanks, Lance. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Thank you.